I'm excited to get to be in your church, and I'm even more so excited after the worship this morning. Christy and I get to be in a lot of different churches and preach in a lot of different churches, and y'all have something extremely special here. It's God's hand, it's God's spirit. The worship this morning was fantastic, and I know a lot of that comes back to the leadership and Dr. Harden as I've gotten to know him across the state and his state leadership, but right here in your church. And y'all, I don't know if you realize or not, but he's celebrating 15 years as your pastor here at the church. That's incredible. Let's tell him thank you. I know your church and its history of giving to Florida Baptist Children's Homes, it goes back over decades. And so when we talk about what God has done, and truly what God has done through Florida Baptist Children's Homes, Orphans Heart, and the Porch Light, it's something that we can celebrate together because y'all have been a part of that giving. And then even on a weekly basis, as you took the offering this morning, as you're part of that cooperative program of giving across the state to Florida Baptist, a portion of that goes to being able to provide for children that are in our care. Now turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. I don't know if you counted on it this morning, but what I want to share with you this morning, I want to talk to you this morning, is about feet. You're going, wait a minute, I didn't think we were going to talk about feet. Christy has beautiful feet. Don't go looking at her feet, y'all. I'm going to tell you, though, but I like her feet. She has beautiful feet, but I'm not one of those good-looking feet person. I'm in that ugly foot category. How many of you are in the ugly foot category? Anybody else? Okay, so y'all can relate to me. This is not a stock photo. These are my ugly feet. I had just run a 50-mile race on the Pony Express Trail, and one more slide before that. Had just run a race, and so my feet got pretty beat up. Now, one thing about it is I chose to beat up my feet that way. I chose to be able to run that race, and some of you run, and really to have a privilege of expending calories in that way. It's a luxury, and I say that because a lot of people don't have that luxury. They don't get to choose to say, well, you know, I've got this energy, I've got these calories, I'm going to use them for something I enjoy, as opposed to I'm going to use every bit of energy and every calorie I have to go and collect firewood for my family, to walk miles to go get clean water for my family, to be able to provide food for my family, to be able to put that on the table, to make sure that my family is safe. Those are the families and the children that we're working with on a daily basis. You know, there's some feet that I've seen, and probably you can relate to it now, including mine, that you don't ever want to see again. But I think about some of those feet that I've seen. As Christy and I are working on a trash dump in Honduras, there was a man, of course, there were men and women and children up on that trash dump, just like what you drive by, the giant mountains, and the dump truck comes up, and the dump truck backs up, and it begins to dump out all the refuse. And then people are scrounging around in Honduras, and they're digging in to try to grab anything of value, maybe a little bit of plastic that can be recycled, and how many deaths take place on that trash dump every year because people pushing forward just to grab anything of value, and they get crushed by the load that's being dumped. And there was an older man, he looked much older than he was, walking across that trash dump barefooted. And as he got closer to us, y'all, I'm going to tell you, I winced. I'm like this because he had open wounds and cuts on his feet. And I saw a beautiful sight, a beautiful example of what it means to be the presence of Jesus Christ. As one of the people on the trip with us, one of our board members' spouses, she knelt down with that man, got down on the ground with him. She took out wipes, antibacterial wipes, and started cleaning his feet and began to pour water over him And then she bandaged this man's feet. I don't know all of what infection and everything else was involved in that man's life. But she sat there and was the hands of Jesus to this man's feet. And I saw him look up and look into her eyes and gaze into her eyes. And what he experienced was dignity. What he experienced was the love of Jesus Christ. What he experienced was somebody looking at him saying, you are important, you are valuable, you are created in the image of our Almighty God. Well, as we look at that, and I want us to look at Romans chapter 10, verse 15, as it talks about feet, and it talks about our feet. In Romans 10, chapter 15, it says this, how then can they call, excuse me, I'm going to jump to 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in, And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I love that. And I think I've even read it incorrectly, because the emphasis there in every translation, almost every translation you'll see, is there's an exclamation point at the end of that sentence. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's not a declarative statement. I mean, this is an exciting statement of how we have the opportunity to usher in God's kingdom by being the presence of Jesus Christ as we walk out of this building, as we walk down the street, as we walk around the world. Everything that we do that you're a part of with us through Florida Baptist Children's Homes, Orphan's Heart, and the Porch Light is about bringing God's kingdom today, about sharing God's good news with those around us. And we get so excited about that impact that we were able to make to be able to provide for 170 plus thousand children and families this last year and working in those different locations in Florida and around the world. But what we get most excited about is about one. Because each and every one of those represents an individual, a child, an adult, a family that was created in God's image that God longs to have a relationship with. Today we're going to celebrate how together we have the opportunity to run to children with good news, both physically and spiritually. I think about, and we're going to celebrate some of those that we get to run to, and I think about the feet of a little girl in the Dominican Republic. And I think about how her feet walk a dirt road every day, and how this particular little girl's feet sleep on a dirt floor in a tiny bit of a shack, how they struggle just to provide those necessities of life that we talked about. And then I think about that life transformation, because we've built over 85 homes now in the Dominican Republic as a part of a community, and how that little girl and her family now have concrete within their house. They have a safe home that she can sleep in, separate from the other family members, by being in a different room and a different bed. And how through our community transformation center, right in that middle of that community, she's able to have food to eat. And she's able to, her parents are able to go and learn life skills and job training. And most importantly, Howard, as you prayed this morning, we're praying about God's Spirit moving through all of our churches, that there will be a church service that will take place there in Spanish throughout that community, where all can be drawn in to the purpose of everything that we do is communicating the love of Jesus Christ. Today, there are only 5 homes left to be built in that community. And I get excited about that, because when that building is done, the ministry really has just begun. As we're able to continue those feeding programs, those training programs, and plant God's church in that community. Not only do I think about some of those little feet that we get to run to in the Dominican Republic, I think about little feet that we get to run to right here in Homestead, Florida. This is not a stock photo. This is an actual photo of from 3 weeks ago, and it came from Homestead Baptist Hospital. And there was a mother at Homestead Baptist Hospital 3 weeks ago that made the loving decision to say, you know what, I can't keep my baby, but I want to place this baby in an amazing adoptive home, forever home. This is what's happening in your community. This is how you and I are able to reach out and be the presence of Christ to a tiny little infant and tiny feet, so that she could have a forever family. She can be cared for. She can be loved. And what we pray, ultimately, this infant little girl will one day come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. Not only for those that are tiny and young, but I think about all those little feet that have been victimized by child sex trafficking here in the state of Florida. Florida is the 3rd largest hub for child sex trafficking in the nation. Y'all, and we look at it and we go, surely that happened somewhere else. But I'm telling you, we see the effects of it happening right here. I see that effects happening in the lives of girls that are in our safe home that are between the ages of 14 to 16 years old that have been victimized in this way. I think about where those feet have gone that didn't want to go. They've walked down dirty streets. They've walked across dirty carpet. They've been in places where no child should ever be. And I thank God that you and I came together to say, we're going to build a safe home in an undisclosed location where we can begin to rescue and restore the lives of these girls to what God intended. And not only that, to be able to provide services for victims up to age 24 across the state of Florida. And then also to provide advocacy, awareness, and training so that we can prevent, so that we can make sure that no other child is ever treated in that way. We provided those services, that training services, for over 55,000 individuals this past year. Just this last week, Christy and I were in Tallahassee. This week, we were in Tallahassee all week, where we hosted Traffic Stop, and it was a legislative prayer breakfast to stop child sex trafficking, as we had senators and representatives and state leadership there to come together to bring that awareness and to pray the end of child sex trafficking. And then as we all marched together to the Capitol in a press conference on the steps of the Capitol, along with our legislators and senators, as we're advocating legislative change within our state. That is what you and I are a part of through the porch light from Homestead, Florida to Tallahassee, Florida and across the state. As we look out together, we're running to help child victims of sex trafficking. Throughout the state of Florida, there's another group that we're also meeting the needs of, and it's our single moms with children. I mean, you think about the struggle of single moms all across the state and how many households our single moms lead. Y'all, and you know what we call single moms that are part of our program? We call them brave moms, because these single moms are out there and they're putting food on the table. They're going to work and they're helping with homework. They're making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for snacks, and they're holding things together. Well, you and I are part of a ministry called Brave Moms Together. We're able to take in single moms who are struggling with their children. Not separating the children out, but how can we come alongside that single mom and mentor her so that and equip her to be the good mom that she really wants to be? And we have 88% successful completion of the program with the single moms and kids that come into our care. I mean, we sang this morning a beautiful song this morning that was sung that the lady that sang it remembered her grandmother singing to her. Not everybody has that godly legacy of a grandmother or a mother that shared Christ with them. You and I have that opportunity to come in as extended family to these single moms and to begin to plant that godly legacy in their lives and in the lives of their children. We're working with the single moms across the state in that way. We're really targeting a big group that we're working to try to help are families that are struggling. They're working, they have jobs, but man, it's hard to keep things together. And especially as their families grow and then certain situations come up and it puts them in a bind. That came about with the family that you see here, Peterson and his wife. Peterson came in, he was all excited because his wife was expecting. And then they found out they were going to have triplets. So the family of two went to become a family of five. And Peterson there in his uniform works at a tire shop. He came in and said, I don't know how we're going to be able to hold everything together. We were able to take Peterson and his wife through a budgeting class and be able to help them with job skills training. And because of that, Peterson was able to get a job that paid more. And not only that, y'all, we were able to provide Peterson and his wife with diapers for these three children. And you could imagine how many diapers they go through every day with three infants. Well, as a part of our diaper drive, y'all, we collected more than 670,000 diapers this year. You talk about being the presence of Christ when you can give diapers to a family like Peterson and his wife and to be able to communicate to them the love of Jesus and why we love them. It is powerful and it is effective. Through those compassion ministries, not only are we reaching out to provide those families with diapers and with clothes, with counseling, with budget planning, but also with food. And so this past year, we were able to provide over 5.5 million meals to children and families in the state of Florida and internationally. Now, as we serve kids those food meals in the state of Florida, it's fantastic to be able to see what takes place, but also to be able to see internationally what's happening in the lives of these children, like in Uganda, where Christy and I were just about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We just returned. And in a place where you and I, through Orphan's Heart, have built 3 school buildings now. We built a medical clinic. We have a feeding program there and a feeding center that we built. We've got clean water wells. And y'all, to see 250 children coming to school every day, to know that we can break that cycle of lack of education. We can break the cycle of poverty. But you know what I get really excited about? Those 250 children are going to Bible classes every day. Those 250 children are learning what true transformation looks like through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we're able to provide breakfast there and lunch there, and now we're feeding about 1,500 children every weekend through a weekend feeding program, we are the presence of Christ in Uganda. And it extends all throughout Latin American countries of Guatemala, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, Haiti, and there's several that I'm not going to remember right off the top of my head, as well as South Africa, where we have 6 different feeding sites. We're able to be the presence of Jesus Christ there. One of those others that we're meeting the needs of children on both a food basis and also on a medical basis is in Guatemala. We have a malnutrition center in Guatemala where we've been able to work, really on an in-depth level to provide children that are starving to death. And I have a picture I want to show you of Carlos. And you can see a before and after literally within days. Because baby Carlos arrived at the malnutrition center and he was clinging to life. And within a matter of days, you can see the transformation that's taken place in the life of Carlos physically as you and I are the presence of Jesus Christ there in his life. I go back to that verse. Remember that verse? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When you're hungry, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When you need medical care, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When you need something provided for your physical life, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But y'all, the most important piece is when you're hungry spiritually, when you have a need that we all need of a relationship with Jesus Christ, of redemption and forgiveness of sins, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, as we look at that and we consider that, we're not just talking about our feet, are we? We're talking about our feet. We're talking about our lives. We're talking about every aspect of what we do needs to represent Jesus Christ. In fact, Christy and I talk a lot and with our boys a lot about we need to smell like Jesus. Just everywhere we go, we need to be that odor to people around us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It's one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us everywhere, through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing and those who are being saved, to those being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other we are the fragrance of life." Think about that. We are the aroma of Christ. What's one of your favorite smells? Close your eyes a second. Think about one of your favorite smells. Okay, I've got Christy's chocolate chip cookies. She makes these chocolate chip cookies. They've just got just enough batter to hold all the chocolate chips together. They're the best cookies in the world. I think about her apple pie. I think about my grandmother's homemade bread. I haven't had that in decades. But I could smell it just like I'm there today. And you know what? A lot of those things that you smell have an emotion attached to them too, don't they? They bring back good memories. But you think about being the fragrance of the aroma of Christ. And how when we walk past people, they ought to go, "Man, I don't know what it is about them, but they smell like Jesus. I don't know what it is about them, but it's attractive. I don't know what it is about them, but it elicits an emotion in me, and it's something that I want." Now, think with me just a second about closing your eyes and think about one of those terrible odors. One of the worst odors you ever smelled. Ooh, some of you are wincing. I can see it. So open your eyes. Let's get rid of that one. I think about one of those worst odors I've ever smelled was on that trash dump in Honduras I told you about. I can still smell it. Y'all, we had hand sanitizer, and I actually kind of try to rub it around my nose just to cut the stench just a little bit. When you think about this verse, and it says, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing and those who are being saved. To the one, we're the smell of life, the fragrance of life. To the other, we're the smell of death." You go, wait a minute, how can we be both of those things? You know what? If we are living a holy life in Jesus Christ, when we walk through life, we are attractive to some because they're saying, you know what that is that you have? I want it. I see how you treat people. I see how you act. I see the kindness of the words that come out of your mouth. I hear the words of Jesus coming out of your mouth, and so it's attractive to me. But y'all, the reality is there's also a point that if we are living and acting and talking like Jesus, for some, it's going to remind them of their sin. For some, it's going to be a point where they're going to go, man, that's the smell of death because what you have, I don't have. And then hopefully what takes place is from that smell, that terrible odor that they go, oh, I smell my life. I look at my life and I'm not worthy. We go back to that song we sang this morning. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so that's the attractiveness of Christ and that fragrant aroma that we can bring to all of those around us. So as we walk down these halls, as we walk out into our homes, as we go to our places of business, our places of work, as we walk into the schools and everywhere around us, we need to smell like Jesus. Everything we do needs to reflect God's righteousness and God's goodness. And so we need to consider what our feet look like to people, what our life smells like to people. And y'all, let's run to people with the good news of Jesus Christ to be His physical presence in their life. We look at it, I mean, this is a big state. We came a long way, and I'm delighted to get to be here with your church. But God has called you here. You have a mission field right here. And then we have a mission field that's across the state. And then we have a mission field around the world. But as the body of Christ, we cannot do what God has called us to do unless we are the mission field first where we are, and then a little bit farther out, and then around the world. What I'm convinced of, as we look at the beauty of God's feet and how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, is that our feet are beautiful when they're running to be able to provide food for children, because there's nothing given in return. Our feet are beautiful when they ensure that every child has a safe place to sleep at night. Our feet are beautiful when we're running to provide shelter for people, a place that they can be safe and a place that they can be loved. And most importantly, our feet are beautiful when we're running to people with the good news of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Y'all, let's be people of beautiful feet. Let's be people that smell like Jesus in every walk that we do every day. And most importantly, if you're here today and you say, well, you talk about that smell of life and the smell of death. And when you talk about Jesus, I look inside and I go, you know what? I'm reminded of the stench of my life. Today, let today be the day you say, you know what? I want to welcome Jesus Christ into my life. God loves you so much. He loves me so much. It's amazing to think that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you and for me. And He did that so that we could be adopted into His family. Just like that little girl right here in Homestead Baptist Hospital, we can be adopted into God's family if we will accept the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, into our heart. And oh man, you think about it. Oh, precious is the flow. How outstanding it is to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that our guilt is forgiven, that stench, that terribleness you carry around with you, that angst every day to be able to say, God, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. I don't have to carry it anymore. Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. And y'all, that's just the beginning. Because then we know we have an eternity that we'll spend forever with a loving Heavenly Father that's perfect in every way, that is that good, good Father. God, thank you for letting us come into this place today. God, I thank you for each person here. And God, I thank you for letting us be a part of the body of Christ together. And God, I pray for anyone here that's never accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, in their heart, that's in turmoil, that's in angst this morning. God, I pray that today would be the day. Let today be the day that they invite your Son, Jesus Christ, into their heart, that they admit their sins and say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. God, for each and every one of us, let us be the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, to those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.